what are you doing coming in here without any trousers on? What do you think this is? Look, I don't care what you call them. You can call them trousers, you can call them pants, right? Put some of them on and then come back. This is disgusting. I'll see you after the theme music. Goodness me.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me, my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people! It's great to have you here. It is so good to have you here. Do you know, have you noticed I've decorated? Have you noticed? You haven't? You haven't noticed? Good, I haven't decorated. So that works out. Right, gonna start off with the interactive bit. Are you ready? Here it goes. How are you? Oh, good. Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, no, we painted the walls. We got some new blinds. Yeah, no, it was the wife's idea, but I think it really opens the room up. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for noticing, yeah. Uh-huh. Do you know what? I'll tell her you said that. Thank you. And scene. How was that? How did that work out? You like that? Did ya? Good. Or bad. I don't know what you said. I missed the last bit. I caught the rest of it, though, when we were talking about the decorating. Boys and girls, I have got a packed show. This is possibly the most packed show ever. I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's probably best if I just get straight into it, because otherwise we're going to be here all day. So let's get started with something fabulous, and it's this. This episode, I have a lovely story sent in from Katie Gibson all the way from Australia. And although it's a Santa Claus is not coming to town, I'm wondering if it should be Father Christmas is not coming to town, because I think in Australia they still call him Father Christmas as well. Anyway, here is Katie's story. I have a story about finding out about Santa. I don't remember finding out myself, and when I asked my mum, she can't remember either. My youngest sister, however, I remember coming in after school around the age of 8, bawling her eyes out that her friend said Santa wasn't real. So I created a letter from Alfonso, the head elf, and drew a picture of him down near the bottom, near his signature. In the letter, he wrote that he had heard she was sad and explained Santa was real if she truly believed. I asked for a stamp from my mum, but she refused, so I had to draw that on. My sister came home from school and found it in the letterbox the next day and was so excited. I think deep down she knew, but wanted to believe a little longer. I've made similar letters for her sons over the years too, to keep the spirit going. Katie, that is a great story. Thank you so much for sending it in. I love it. I love it. I say that all the time, don't I? I love it. I love it. And I do love it. So I'm going to say I love it. And if you don't like it, well, why don't you like it? You should love it. Like I love it. I love it. Thank you, Katie. Let's do this. So for the past 4 episodes, Rich Chambers has been sending in one of his Christmas memories for us to play. And this is the last one. This is the 5th one he sent us. And this is about the first time he ever watched The Year Without a Santa Claus. Here we go.
Hi everyone, this is Rich Chambers coming to you with a Christmas memory. As a small boy growing up in the 70s, we didn't have the benefit of streaming services or anything like that. So for me to be able to watch a Christmas special, I was at the mercy of the television networks. My mom would watch the TV guide listings and would take note of when the Grinch was on or when Frosty was on, when Rudolph was on. And that year she happened to miss when Rudolph was on. And I was so disappointed. I'd missed Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. So she found one, and hopefully it was a consolation prize of sorts. She says, Rich, there's this one on Saturday afternoon. It's called The Year Without a Santa Claus. Well, I said, okay, it wasn't Rudolph. I was very disappointed. Christmas wasn't going to be the same this year. But I thought I'd give this one a try. So I sat down and watched it. And there was, Jingle and Jangle, a couple of elves I'd never heard of. What was that? There was Mrs. Claus. That was kind of cool. There was a couple of the reindeer. And at one point, suddenly, Mrs. Claus, Jingle and Jangle, and one of the reindeer show up at the Snow Miser's castle. Who is this Snow Miser, I thought. and he broke into his song. Oh my goodness, I thought this was pretty funny. Then out of the blue come these little dancing snow misers to sing the chorus with him, and I absolutely lost it. I was laughing so hard. I was holding my stomach and barely keeping a consciousness. And just as I'm starting to recover, Mrs. Claus and the two elves and the reindeer go and visit the heat miser. Oh my goodness, I lost it. I was done. I was laughing so hard. My mother thought I was going to hyperventilate or something, and I could not handle it. This was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I have to admit, years and years later, it's still the funniest thing I'd ever seen. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Do you know what? I hate to say it. I cannot remember the last time I watched A Year Without Santa Claus. I need to make sure I watch it this year anyway. The song I'm playing this episode from Rich Chambers' album, Santa's Rockin' Band, is the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser song from A Year Without Santa Claus. Now, a while ago, Rich did a cover of this song and it became really popular online, people downloading it and that. So that was one of the things that inspired him to do his album, Santa's Rockin' Band. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you want to check out his album, it's very simple. You just go onto richchambers.com. There's a sidebar on the left. You just click on Santa's Rockin' Band and all the songs will come up. One thing I need to say is that I've been playing clips of his songs, and the way I've been copying the songs to play on the podcast is a little bit lost in translation. So the quality is so much better on his website than you'll be hearing on this podcast. And I wish I'd said that in every previous episode. Anyway, I hope you like this song, which is Rich's version of the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser song. Here it comes.
He's Mr. Icicle, he's Mr. Tindernose.
Friends call me Snow Miser, whatever I touch turns the snow in my clutch.
He's too much.
I never wanna know a day that's over 40 degrees. I'd rather have it 30, 25 and minus 3. I like it freezing cold. Hey, hey!
I'm over. I'll sing. It's my turn to sing. I'm Mr. Crane Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch, it starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
So there we go. I hope you enjoyed that. Thanks again for sending in your memory, Rich. And I hope you guys at home go out and check out Santa's Rocking Band, richchambers.com. Now it's time for this. Your lugs, you'll love them, I'll love them. Actually, this episode, I haven't got a Yule log. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is that this episode, I haven't got a Yule log. The bad news is, I've decided I'm going to keep this segment. Originally, it was just going to be, I was going to do it up till Christmas, and then that was going to be it, and I'd find something else instead. No, I'm keeping it. I've decided I'm not going to do it every episode. I've got plenty that I could have done this episode, but I thought, no, I'm going to spread them out, and from now on, this is an ongoing segment. And if you don't like it, I'm not surprised, because I don't like it either. But it's part of the show now, and the only reason it is part of the show is because I love the jingle. I like singing it. I like the fact that it's a part of my life. So, yeah, anyway, that's the good news and the bad news. Now it's time for... Oh, is it time for this or is it time for that? It's time for this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
If you're a fan of the show, you might remember that last year I had a segment where I played some classic British songs for our US correspondent, Scott Newman. And I'm doing exactly the same thing again this year. But this year, it's Scott Newman and his co-host of their show, Jingle Jank. we had loads of fun recording, and because of that, it went on quite a long time. So I've actually had to split it into two segments. So this is the first one. There's going to be four songs, and then next episode, I'll play the rest of our chat, and that's another three songs. So here we go. Okay, so boys and girls, I've got a treat for you now. We've got our American correspondent, Scott Newman, plus his, I can't say sidekick, what am I going to say? Partner in crime?
That's fair enough. Best friend. Distinguished colleague.
Distinguished colleague, Jay LaChapelle. They're both from Jingle Jank podcast, which I think I may have mentioned once or twice on the podcast. Today, I'm going to be playing seven songs that are classic Christmas standards in the UK, and I'm going to find out if they've ever heard them. So we're just going to get straight into it.
Well, Jack, Scott, one second. I'd like to propose that Jay could be...
You're talking over me on my podcast.
Yes. I'd like to propose that Jay could be the associate American correspondent to your show.
Yes.
I've got so many people that are self-appointed on my podcast. None of them do anything.
Well, that's the thing. I'm delegating, Jack. If I actually give this to Jay, something might actually get done.
He hasn't even got my email address.
I tried to find it. You know, your website is not, you got to get a little bit more. I need some more contact information. I didn't want to use the form. I wanted to get straight to the source.
It's at the bottom of every page.
Is it? Yeah. Maybe I was looking at, I might've been looking at a cached version.
Okay, are we cool? We're going to start.
All right. So you said, I just want to prepare here. You said, and Jay and I have not heard any of these songs, but I do have them loaded into my mixer here, but they're just numbered 1 through 7, and I did not listen to them. And you're telling me these are standards. So if I were walking down the street of London and I pulled out my phone and started playing it, one of these songs for someone, there's a good chance they would know what the song is.
Yeah, if you were walking through the streets of London and you went into one of the big shops, you'd probably hear them. These are the classics. They're on the radio all the time. I say all the time, these aren't quite as popular. One or two of these are, but some of these aren't as popular as the ones I played for you last year.
Yep. And I think I knew maybe about like 2 out of 6 of those last year, maybe.
Did you? I didn't think.
If it was 2, I was lucky because I didn't. Jay, it went pretty terribly.
Okay. Well, I think the test, I like your test. Like, these are songs, if you walked into a mall or a shopping center, you're going to hear these playing on the Muzak or whatever overhead.
That's it, exactly.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so Jay, I think we should set a little ground rule here. We're going to play the song, and one of us will answer first. You know, whomever of us knows what the song is should just pipe in and say it.
Yeah.
We'll kind of keep a little rough score here to see how we do. And I did pretty terribly, so I don't think I'm going to dominate this in any
Scott,
way.
And I want Jack to know I'm fact-checking all of this. I have my sister-in-law lives in Scotland and has been lived in the UK for the last 20 years in various locations. So after the show, I'm going to cross-reference all of anything that goes over my head here. I'm going right back to her. I'm going to need to get a pad to make sure I can write this down.
Yep. And Jack, where do we send corrections if we have any?
Yeah.
So what you need to do is find your nearest lavatory, put them on a piece of paper, pop them in the lavatory, and then just flush it.
And it'll make it all the way to the UK?
Maybe.
Okay. So I'm going to play the first song here, and here we go.
A spaceman came traveling on his ship from afar. 'Twas light years of time since his mission did start.
Sounds like a Chaucer poem or something. What is this?
He halted his craft, and it hung in the sky like a star.
I think the song is called A Spaceman Came Traveling.
Well, you know it.
No, but I know the name of the song. I know this song exists, but I wouldn't know it if he hadn't just said A Spaceman Came Traveling. That was like the first 4 words of the song. Now, who sings it? I have no idea.
A bright light of silver shone round his head.
Jay, it sounds like some kind of bard who has a lute, and he's out in the park.
Sir Robin ran away, he bravely turned his tail and fled.
Wow, this thing goes on for another minute.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Wait, hold on. Do
not fear. Oh, that's okay.
I come from a planet a long way from here. and I bring a message for mankind to hear. Suddenly the sweetest music fills the air. And it went la, 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 la.
Oh, now it's getting good. All right, Jack, I think the song is called A Spaceman Came Traveling, but I would have to guess the name of the artist, so I'm going to think of the most British name I can think of. It's Sir Charles Jackington.
You're correct. How did you know? No, it's not. Jay, have you heard this song before?
So I haven't heard the song before, but the artist actually sounds really familiar, and it kind of sounds like a little bit like, I was going to say Gordon Lightfoot, but that's probably not it. No. I know, but the artist sounds familiar, but before we go, I have to say, I really, really liked the song. I don't know if that was keyboard or whatever. What instrument that was, organ that was in the middle, but I know this is not Jingle Jank, but I really liked the song.
Well, we are, yes. Jingle Jank. Is it an artist we would know the name of, Jack?
I'm not 100% sure, but his name's Chris de Burgh.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Lady in Red.
Yeah.
And Don't Pay the Ferryman.
I don't know that one. Yeah. I know Lady in Red.
Yeah. So this song, when it was first released, it didn't even chart in the UK, I don't think. And then it got to number one in Ireland, which is where Chris de Burgh's from. I don't know if it's Chris de Burgh or Chris de Burgh, actually. I think it's Chris de Burgh. But it did get to, later on in 1986, it got to number 40. But this is one that does get all the airplay. So it's probably sort of doing quite well from streaming these days. And it's on most, if you get a compilation album, you'll find it on there.
Now, I liked the song, Jack. The first half was slow, and I didn't realize it was building to something. And then you get the bridge and the chorus, and then there was a lot more energy. I really liked it after that middle part. If it had stayed the same...
It slows down again, and then it goes back up again. Okay. And it's, yeah.
Because if it had just started off, because it sounded like a bard singing in the park with a lute or something, and I was like, what is this? And then there was more energy.
Yeah, I kind of like that, though. That's I liked that. I like that vibe. And Chris de Burgh put out an album just this year called The Legend of Robin Hood. So still turning out music.
There you go. Yeah, it's probably playing a lute in that.
All right.
Yeah, that song, the story of it is literally the idea that Jesus was actually an alien.
Oh, Jay, you like those wacko shows on the Discovery Channel about the ancient aliens?
I do. I'm into that kind of thing. And now I'm intrigued because I didn't have enough time to kind of parse that out from what I heard. But what I did hear intrigued me, which is part of the reason why I like the song is the words definitely were interesting. So this is one I'm going to have to go back to and give another listen.
Yeah, that was fun. Jay, I would not put this on a playlist.
I don't know. Like, this is like this. I kind of like this. This is very like this on a playlist would be like the equivalent of like this is bringing like Jack Black to a party. That's what this song is on a playlist. It kind of takes people. It's a little bit different. It's like telling a story. I like it.
Okay. Are you ready to move on to the second song? Or is there anything else you want to say about Chris de Burgh? And Jack, what is the name of the song? A Spaceman Came Traveling?
It is called A Spaceman Came Traveling. Yeah. And
okay. So the only reason I know that is because of when we do research and we go through lists of songs, I recognize the title of the song.
Oh, that's I see. So you've never seen it.
I'm going to give myself a half point, Jay.
No. Okay.
Fair.
You're getting half a point.
Well, I think it's only fair. I mean, I got the...
It's not fair. You're not getting off a blooming point.
A quarter point.
There you go. Right, carry on. Next song, please.
All right, here we go. Hey, there'll be snow on Christmas.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. Veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, and eyes full of tinsel and fire.
Jay, you're not on your phone, are you? You're not Shazamming this. Okay, phew. It's just a piece of paper, folks. It's all right. All right, so here's the thing, Jack. I absolutely know this song by the sound of it. And I know those beginning lyrics. I'm struggling to come up with the artist or the title.
Oh.
And it's, you know, scene missing. I cannot find it. Jay, do you have any idea? I know you've heard the song before. They play it here in the U.S.
So I wrote down Snow on Christmas Morning as the song. And I think once again, I thought that was the title. And I thought once again, it was dimed out to us in the intro there. And you know, as far as who this is, I can't tell you the artist. I'm going to take a guess that if George Harrison and David Bowie had a baby, that's who sang the song.
George Bowie.
Is that correct?
No, it's David Harrison.
I thought he was serious for a second, Jay. I was gobsmacked.
The artist is called Greg Lake, and you might know him from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Okay, yeah, ELP.
So I'm not quite sure. I think this is while he was in Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. He released this as a solo single, and apparently it was like a bit of a anti-consumerism song. It got to number two. It would have been at number one, but it was beaten by Bohemian Rhapsody when that was first released. Hmm. So it's been, I think, a couple of weeks at number two. Sold really well, and it gets the airplay every year. And that little bit of music, the instrumental there, is Troika by I forget the name of the guy, the Russian composer. It's part of a longer piece that he did for a film. And are you familiar with that piece of music?
I don't think so.
I'm not.
Well, the
isn't that the Tetris theme song?
No.
Oh.
You seriously do not know that song?
Well, it could be the excellent playback that
can
I'm
you
getting on it.
Just rewind it, buddy. Just rewind it.
I don't know, Jay. It sounds like the Cisco Hold music. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I don't recognize it.
Do you know what? That amazes me. That really does, because that piece of music I thought was just famous for being Christmas music, and I thought he'd sort of stolen it to make his song sound more Christmassy. But I'm beginning to think that's not the case. It's been used in a couple of films.
Don't use us as judges here. We just may not be familiar.
It sounds like something deliberately sampled and inserted in a song. So like, to that effect, the fact that that we don't immediately recognize it, I think if I listen to it a few more times, I might. But it definitely sounds like something that's like deliberately inserted in the sound to be like, I don't know what you call it musically, but like it's a departure from the main track for a moment, yeah. Right? I liked it.
All right, we're 0 for 2, Jay.
I know, but I liked it.
I'm gonna give you that one actually, Scott. You can have a point for that because you were singing along at the start, so you definitely know the song.
Yeah, it's a song that you would hear here in the U.S. You wouldn't walk through the mall and hear it. You might catch it on like a serious streaming station or something. Someone who plays a little bit of off, you know, a little bit more obscure music than your just regular pop songs. But I'm absolutely.
But you knew the words though, didn't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I should have said the name of the song. It's called "I Believe in Father Christmas."
Well, yeah, now it seems obvious, doesn't it?
Well, no, because not in the lyrics you heard, but there was a bit in it where he says, "I believed in Father Christmas. I look to the skies with excited eyes." I made it in this bit. Right. Okay. I'm going to let the cat out and you can start playing the next one. Here we go.
Jay, your wife's into musicals. This sounds like a musical.
It does, doesn't it? Number.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this. I definitely know this song.
I do not.
Like
Is this an artist from the UK?
It is, yeah.
Okay. I was going to guess Sia, but she's Australian, so it's not bad. What do you think, Jay?
So I definitely know that I've heard this song, and I believe, so let me think for out loud for a second. I know that I've heard this song before. I believe that the refrain or whatever chorus that is a hook or a loop that's in other. So I think this is theatrical. I could be way wrong about all this if I'm thinking I know this, and that could just been because you put that idea in my head.
Well, you might as well take a swing because I got nothing.
Yeah, it sounds like the woman from Wicked is that. I can't think of her name.
And Kristen Chenoweth?
No, the other one. Ingrid, I don't know what her name. Frozen? No, maybe not Wicked. Frozen. Anyway. What's not?
No. I will still give you half a point, okay, because I believe that you're not lying, that you've heard it before. This song was by a lady called Kate Bush. Are you familiar with
Kate Bush?
Yeah, I definitely know Kate Bush, yeah.
So I don't know how well she translated over into the States, but she was massive in the late 70s, early 80s. A couple of number ones, I think.
Oh, I was going to guess 90s.
Yeah, she sort of went a bit quiet in the 90s, really. She did a bit late 80s, but she sort of didn't do a lot. She came back again not long ago and did like another album, I think, and did a lot of live performances. But yeah, this was released in 1979. It only reached number 29 in the UK. And it's one that people should know, but not everyone will know. The song's called December Will Be Magic Again.
Well, I like that.
Well, I thought the song sucked.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan.
Jay, I thought I remember Kate Bush. I thought I remember the weird kids in high school liked Kate Bush a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like it sounds familiar, but I think there might have been a weird kid in high school named Kate Bush where I think is where you're getting that. Co-mingling a couple of things there, but yeah.
Hang on, so hold on a second. You don't think you do?
I know
Kate
of
Bush.
Kate Bush. If you said who's Kate Bush, I'd say, oh, she's a singer. So that's as much as I would know. Give a half point to Jay though, and then we're tied. All right, here we go. This is number 4.
It was Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me,
I know this song. This is that one, Fairy Tale in New York?
Oh, well done.
Then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune.
This is the one that goes, and the bells play.
Not quite.
Okay, well, I'll just edit that part out. No. I'm just saying, edit that out. That was just a question. That wasn't official. Who is this, the Pogues?
It was. It is. Yeah.
I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I can see a better time.
Jay, this is like the reincarnation of Bob Dylan. Well, actually, he's not dead, so.
So, did you say who it is? I thought I knew who the artist
was. Yeah, it's Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Okay.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold. Spread the windows right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City when the band finished.
Jack, that unflushable turd was Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Are you really? That's how you're going to refer to it?
I do not like that song. It shows up all the time on people's favorite Christmas songs list. It mystifies me why.
Really?
I find it to be whiny. It's not upbeat. It's depressing. I don't like it.
So I feel like I'm going to just pile on and dig myself further in a hole. So I like that song very much. I had no idea what the name of it was. And I always thought it was either the Kinks or Ray Davies. and not the Pogues, which I know is kind of like an all British guy sound alike thing. But I always thought that was the Kinks. I thought that way. I actually looked up Ray Davies just now to see if I, you know, how far off the mark I was, but I like that song a lot. And I will admit to being
so
gone for a long time.
Off the mark. So far off the mark. That's incredibly bad.
Is it really bad? Is it poor form of me to confuse the Kinks and the Pogues? Is that like,
They're so different. One's like a proper Irish band that just does Irish sounding songs. Yeah. And one's like the 60s, like the sort of precursor to the Britpop.
Islands in the islands over there. Yeah, that's it. I see what you're saying.
Okay, sure.
Jack, before I upset the entire Commonwealth, I'm going to give a little bit of credit here. I think, what's the name of the singer from the Pogues?
Shane McGowan.
Okay, great voice. He's got this incredible growl to his voice. Musically, the song is very good. I don't like the subject matter as a Christmas song. I just don't. It's not the kind of Christmas music I like. I like upbeat songs. I don't like any kind of depressing ass Christmas songs. And like, here's the kid with no shoes, or, you know, his mom needs shoes so she can go meet Jesus. I don't like any of that stuff. So that's why I don't like it. And it does show up on lists all the time for people of their one of their favorite Christmas songs. I've never understood why. But as musicians, they are excellent.
Okay, so this is actually the Pogues featuring Kirsty MacColl, who sadly died, I don't know, about 10 years ago. I really liked Kirsty MacColl, like a lot of her stuff. This song reached number 2. It was nearly the Christmas number 1, but it was kept off by the Pet Shop Boys, You Were Always On My Mind. They did a cover of the Elvis song. And it is, are you ready, the most played Christmas song of the 21st century in the UK.
Wow. Interesting.
Oh, it must be all the rain and fog you guys have.
The thing is, if you ignore the words, it's a fantastic song. There's so much to it. It's slow. It's a bit of a dirge at the start, and then it's all upbeat and beautiful at the end. All the bells and that. I love the song.
Jay, did you hear that? Did you hear that quote that we're going to have to carry over into our show? If you ignore the words, it's a great song. Like, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
That's it.
Oh yeah, I see. I liked it. I'm with you. Normally, Scott, you and I are on this in agreement about the downer Christmas songs and the Christmas shoes and same old Lang Saying and all that other stuff. That's I'm with you there. But this to me reminds me of a drinking song, and it's very like so the kind of thing. It's got a very New England Christmas kind of vibe to it, and I like that. You hear it. I think that's why it's like it's sad but upbeat at the same time.
You know, if I had to make an analogy, Jay, this is like using dark mode on your phone. I don't like that. I like light mode. I'm a bright person, and this is not my cup of tea.
Right. Understood.
Okay.
That really surprises me though, Jack, that it was the most played song of the 21st century. That's shocking to me. Or the most played Christmas song, I think you said.
Yeah. Just one other thing. So there's a line in it where it says, "You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy," the other F word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to say
not kosher anymore.
But it was actually changed on the radio to "You scumbag, you maggot, you're cheap and you're haggard." And there was a bit of an outcry. No, there was an outcry, so they actually reinstated it. So if you listen to the radio, you will actually hear that word on the radio in the UK.
They run you out of town here for that. Yeah.
No, that would not fly over here.
Yeah. It's an instant ticket to cancel country right there.
There would be people with torches outside the radio station.
No, they don't want that role anymore.
Nope.
So that was the first four songs we chatted about. We'll be talking about the next three in the next episode. A big thank you to Scott and Jay for that. And now it's time for this.
Book review.
Christmas.
Book review!
Before I get into the book review, I want to play this for you. Here it comes.
Parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
So this episode is not actually a single book review. This is a review of a series of books called Seth's Christmas Ghost Stories, and they're from Biblioasis. Now, I want to read out what it says on the back of all of these books. It says, The telling or reading of ghost stories during long, dark and cold Christmas nights is a Yuletide ritual dating back to at least the 18th century and was once as much a part of Christmas tradition as decorating fir trees, feasting on goose and the singing of carols. During the Victorian era, many magazines printed ghost stories specifically for the Christmas season. These winter tales didn't necessarily explore Christmas themes, rather they were offered as an eerie pleasure to be enjoyed on Christmas Eve, with the family adding a supernatural shiver to the seasonal chill. The tradition remained strong in the British Isles and her colonies throughout much of the 20th century, though in recent years it has been on the wane. Certainly few people in Canada or the United States seem to know about it any longer. This series of small books seeks to rectify this, to revive a charming custom for the long dark nights we all know so well here at Christmas time. And that's a fact. People did used to tell scary stories to each other, and that's the reason that A Christmas Carol was a ghost story and a Christmas story at the same time. Now, these books are just delightful. They're tiny little things, and they're very old stories, but they have added illustrations, designs and decorations by the artist Seth. Now it says in the back, Seth's comics and drawings have appeared in the New York Times, the New Yorker, the Globe and Mail and countless other publications. He lives in Guelph, Ontario with his wife Tanya in an old house he has named Inkwell's End. Now these really are delightful little books and the illustrations are just, my vocabulary when it comes to this sort of thing isn't the best, but what I'm going to say is, as books go, they look great, and as stories go, they are great, because these are old stories. This isn't new stuff. What they've done is they've taken classic old ghost stories that would have been around in the 18th and 19th century, and they've repackaged them in these lovely little books. I'm going to read out the blurb from a few of the ones they've got and have a listen to this and see if this gets you in the mood for a ghost story. There's 20 altogether in the series. I'm not going to read out all of them. I'm just going to read out five of them. So the first one is An Eddie on the Floor. After attending a seance at an acquaintance's home, a man receives an unexpected job offer from another guest, resident doctor at the prison he directs. But when a prisoner begs to have his cell moved, terrified of what's behind the next door, the young doctor starts to question his luck. The Signalman. First published in 1866 for a special Christmas issue of All the Year Round, Charles Dickens's The Signalman has since fallen into obscurity, an eerie story of isolation, dread and supernatural visitation. This book is a small treasure, meant to be read aloud on a cold, dark winter night. The Toll House. The Toll House has a long and terrible history as a place of death, but Jack Barnes doesn't believe in spirits. His travelling companions, Meagle, Lester and White, wager that he might be convinced otherwise if they all spend a night together in the house. Four men will go in, but will four come out? Christmas Eve on a Haunted Hulk. When he finds an abandoned duck punt on Christmas Eve, a hunter rows out into the marsh and comes across a shipwreck. He climbs aboard to explore and finds himself trapped when a surge snaps the mooring line and his punt floats away. Sleep eludes him, and soon he discovers that he's not the only one trapped on the derelict ship. The Doll's Ghost. When the Lady Gwendolyn, aged 6, drops her doll down a staircase, her ladyship solemnly digs her fractured companion a grave. Luckily, Mr. Puckler, renowned doll doctor, thinks he can help. But when his daughter Else goes missing, he's not sure whose voice he hears calling to him in the night. Now, I read the last two of those. That was Christmas Eve on a Haunted Hulk and The Doll's Ghost. And they are just, they're not like really spooky. They're not filled with ghosts. They're just kind of, well, spooky is the right word, but they're not filled with ghosts. It's not in your face. It's a much more subtle ghost story. And I really enjoyed them both. They're lovely little reads. I sort of read them just before I went to bed, two nights on the trot. And I'd highly recommend them to anyone. And what's nice about them is they're just small. So you could like have the whole collection on your shelf and it wouldn't take up a lot of space. Here's the deal, kids. I'm offering the two books that I read to you. They've been read once. by me. Other than that, they are brand new. They were sent to me by the publishers. And if you'd like to win a copy of Christmas Eve on Haunted Hulk and The Doll's Ghost, then all you got to do is email me and say, do you know what, Jack? I fancy having a read of those books. So you've got until the next episode, the day before the next episode drops, all the people that email me, I'll put their names in a hat and I'll pull out a name, and whoever wins, they get the books. Simple as that. So yeah, and I will be putting some pictures up on Facebook so you can see what these books look like. But if this is something you're interested in, like reviving the old tradition of ghost stories at Christmas, then you couldn't go far wrong with these little books, because the stories aren't that long and they are very, very atmospheric. And of course, they're from the time when this was a tradition. So yeah, highly recommend that. And I'm not the only one who recommends it, actually. Patton Oswalt is a fan, and I've got a quote for you here. This is what he says. I don't know where he said this. I'm guessing it's from Twitter. I just bought my set of these and they are perfect. I hope they do these every year. That's by Patton Oswalt. So don't take my word for it. Take Patton Oswalt's word for it. Anyway, this is Biblioasis presents Seth's Christmas Ghost Stories. That's this episode's book review. This episode's Christmas joke was sent in by Mary Pulte, the American mom of the podcast. Self-appointed. Are you ready? And don't go, yeah, I'm ready, Jack. We probably didn't say anything, actually. You probably didn't even think you're ready. You're probably just letting this blooming podcast just wash over you, when really, you should be getting involved. So I'm going to ask again, are you ready? You probably didn't answer then either, did you? I've got 4 listeners out there. I'm betting not even one of you replied. And to be honest, I'm not that bothered. Even if you did reply, I wouldn't be able to hear it because I'm miles away, possibly, unless you're my wife and she don't listen to the podcast, because she told me it's naff. So this is the joke sent in from Mary Pulte. Here it comes. Hold tight, kids. It's really funny. During the holidays, what do you clean your hands with? Ready for it? Sanitizer. Because it's like sanitizer, but it's Santa, so it's sanitizer. Do you get the joke? Of course you do. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Thank you, Mary, for that hilarious joke. You couldn't see that, but I did the old air quotes around hilarious. Thank you, Mary. You know I love you. So, boys and girls, I don't know, like 4 episodes ago, 3 episodes ago, I don't know when it was. Once upon a time, I recommended an online comic strip called Santa and Rudy, and since then, I've had an interview with the creator of that strip, and I'm going to play it for you in just a moment. Now, this is a Zoom conversation, so, you know, the audio might not be great. So, the chap I spoke to, his name's Jeff Malcolmson, he's got a fantastic strip. Here is the interview about his strip, Santa and Rudy. Okay, so boys and girls, I've got a treat for you now. I've got an interview with a gentleman who's got his own, what would you call it? What would you call it, Jeff?
Comic characters? Comic strip?
Yeah, it's an online comic strip. The gentleman's name is Jeff Malcolmson, and the comic strip is called Santa and Rudy. Can you tell us just a little bit, just the general basics of what the comic strip is, Jeff?
So it's the everyday life of Santa and Rudy when they're not out on Christmas Eve delivering the presents. So people want to find out what these two guys get up to the rest of the year. So I thought I would illustrate it and show you their everyday is goings on.
And how long has it been going?
On Facebook, it's been going 8 years. It's been a lot longer project with myself. It was my student project. I studied animation at uni, and these were my characters that I was doing for my short animations.
When you say originally this was for animations, as in you did it, was it actually cartoon?
Yeah, I started at I'd done an honours degree in animation, and these were the characters that I came up with, and I started doing a few wee animations. That's what the first comic strips were, all the storyboards for the animations, and then about 8 years ago, we started to do the comic strips from the storyboards just to get it back out there. And then it was to then start doing the short animations again once I got enough interest in it.
So it's really well drawn. I love looking at it.
Thank you.
It's fantastic. It's just easy on the eye. You know, they're just nice, cute characters. I should have said this at the start. So Santa is obviously Santa, and Rudy is Rudolph. And is it just those two characters? Do you have any others in the strips? The ones I've seen, it's always just been those two.
It is there in the main two, but we've got Elf as well and Snowman. But they just sporadically. Elf is kind of like the character that they make fun of a wee bit. You know, if things are going to feel... It's normally Elf that gets the kind of the worst side off it.
So last year, most of the strips you did, they were like facts about Christmas. Is that right? And you did one a day in December. Mm-hmm. And is it mainly just December that you actually do Santa and Rudy then?
It is the bulk of it was December. I am trying now from this year onwards, from September there, to do a Monday, Wednesday and Friday sketch. And I'm going to make that a full year. Every month, but then when I get to December, it is going to be the 24 days, so it'll be one each day going down to the countdown. But then from January onwards, it'll be every Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
And is it all hand drawn, every one you do?
Yeah, that's what I specialized in when I was at university, was the traditional animation. That's my preferred style, and that's when I go back to the animations, that's what it'll be. It'll be traditional drawn and coloured that way. I just feel that's a nicer way of animating, and I feel that using the pencil is just it's second nature.
So when you started it 8 years ago on Facebook, mm-hmm. what were the strips then? Because I hate to admit it, but I haven't been able to scroll back that far.
No, that was the storyboards from at university. So it was Santa and Rudy were going to get a Christmas tree, and it was just their antics to get this Christmas tree was the basis of that full year and in December. And then it's just kind of like either comic scenarios based around Christmas and winter, and then just some kind of Christmas jokes based over like the three frames. Yeah.
It's a three frame strip, like Peanuts or Garfield.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before we started recording. And if you go back last year, it was all one frame,
one paneled. Yeah. The last few years have been one panel, just because it was a easier way for me to do it, was with both characters either talking in the one frame, just to get it out quicker and to make sure that I actually got one out a day last year.
So you've got about 12,000 followers. So how did it start? Like, I guess you didn't have many when you first started. So how did it start to build then?
No, the first few years probably was a couple of hundred, and then another Christmas Facebook page asked about doing a share for share on Sundays. So I would have shared their Facebook page, they would have shared mine, and then it just kind of blew up. And I got thousands in a few space of a few years. And then it's just they've constantly kept with me. God love them. And they seem to enjoy it. They do seem to like it and leave wee comments and stuff. And it's... I just want to make sure that everybody gets to see it. You know, I've built up that 12,000 following now, so you feel you've got a commitment now to them, and I keep doing it.
Yeah, 12,000 is really good. That's good. And what I noticed last year, you every frame was like a sort of fact where Santa mm-hmm. and Rudy were talking about Christmas, but you also did like a quiz question as well, and there was 24 of those. I like that. I knew a lot of them. I didn't know all of them.
Well, that's good, because I wasn't planning on doing one last year, but a few of the followers came on to it and says, you're doing a quiz again this year? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's harmless. And people like to check, you know, and it's almost like a competition between some of the followers on there, the first one on to get the right answer. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, I think the problem on Facebook is once you've got one right answer, and no one else is, or at least anyone just can come on and just straight underneath put the same answer, like, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's it.
It's good though. I like that. That's one of those things. It's like another type of advent calendar, you know, like your strip and the quiz question. It's another advent calendar. So, you know, when people load up their Facebook that day, it's instead of going and opening a little door and getting a chocolate out, they get a quiz question and they get a fact with Santa and
that's
Rudy.
I like to try to bring that kind of Christmas feeling to everybody, you know.
So when you started, when you first came up with the idea for the characters for your university project, was it at Christmas or did you just, have you always been a fan of Christmas? And that's why
I've always been a fan of Christmas. I started it in September, but Christmas is it's my time of year.
Aye.
You know, my whole year kind of bases till December, and when I got that opportunity, I thought, yeah, these are my two characters, and I could put them in everyday kind of scenarios then, because this is how what their life is like outside of those 24 hours of, or you know, Christmas Eve. So sure. It just gave me full volume to do things with them, and yeah, Christmas is a passion, definitely.
Aye, and they're very relatable as well. You know, they're very recognisable straight away. As soon as you see Santa and Rudy, you know what you're going to get. So how long did you have how long ago did that actually originally start before you went on Facebook?
Give my age away, about 22 years ago now.
Oh, so you've had the characters for all those years, and then 8 years ago you actually sent it out.
Yeah.
To the world.
Because they've kind of they've developed from when I was at university. They look nothing like what they do now. And it's just, it's quite interesting seeing the raw material that I used at, when I was a student, and now to see how they look now, it's completely different, and they're nice characters, I feel.
Yeah, they are. They are really nice characters. So you're doing one a day in December. Are you? Did you start doing the strips before then, so you've got them ready, or how do you do it? What's going on?
I have done in recent years just to give myself like a backup if I've got too busy during the day, kind of putting pressure on myself. So this year I've got pretty much all of December done and quite a lot of the weekly ones as well. So
you've got it already for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all ready, and then I'll just pop them. Normally in November time, I will have them so that they'll come out at a standard time during December. So then I don't have to worry too much about them then.
There we go. Can I ask then for our listeners, what is it you do? I'm guessing it's to do with animation and art, what you're doing outside of the strip.
Bit of both. I freelance, and then I've got a day job as well. So I work in the planning. So I do a lot of computer work, and then I do freelance work as well.
Artwork?
So, artwork, yeah. Freelance animation work, yeah.
Okay. All right, but this is your passion, I guess. Is it the art?
It is, yeah, yeah. It's the thing I do most when I've got the spare time is get the pencil and paper out and then get the ideas and start drawing.
And is it always Santa and Rudy, or do you have other characters that you've worked on in the past?
They're the main characters just because I've got that love for them. Sure. And when I come up with an idea, I can quicker sketch them down because I know them. So I can get them put down on paper and start on the idea.
Yeah. So tell our listeners, if they want to find Santa and Rudy, I will put links up on Facebook, so it's going to be easy for them to find. But if they want to go out and find it, what's the best way to go and find the work?
Just on Google or anything, you type in all in one word, Santa and Rudy, R-U-U-D-Y, and it'll bring up my Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter.
Actually, I should have asked that. Why is there two U's in Rudy? Where did that come from?
I just wanted it to be a little bit different, because every time I'd seen like Santa and Rudy kind of characters everywhere, it was R-U-D-Y or Rudolph. So yeah. I thought, make it a wee bit different, go for the two U's.
Okay, there we go. So there you go, boys and girls. If you want to have a look at Santa and Rudy, get yourself on my Facebook page, because I'll be putting up a link and I'll be sharing it. Or just Google Santa and Rudy. You'll have no trouble finding it, and I know you'll enjoy it. If you start to follow it, come December, every day you'll get. Will you be doing a quiz again this year?
I think I'll have to, yeah.
Okay, so you'll get a quiz question every day leading up to Christmas, and you get a strip, and it's free. So you'd be a fool not to. Thanks very much for your time, Jeff.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Jack.
So there we go, boys and girls. That was my interview with Jeff Malcolmson. If you want to see a strip, all you got to do is go onto Facebook and type in Santa and Rudy, and you'll have no trouble finding it. I will also be putting links up on my Facebook page, but, you know, you could always cut out the middleman, couldn't you? Just go straight there. Stop being so blooming lazy. That's what I say. Merry Christmas. Now it's time for this.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for a segment.
Okay, boys and girls, it's the top 10 Christmas movie list. I've got two for you this week. First up, there's no messing around. First up, the first top 10 list that was sent in to us was sent in by Frank the Tank and Shelley Arnold. So, are you ready? This is their list. Play the music.
At number 10, it's the Polar Express. Number 9, we have Home Alone. At number 8, it's the Santa Claus. Number 7, A Christmas Story. Number 6, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 5 is It's a Wonderful Life. Number 4, The Grinch, the Jim Carrey version. Number 3 is Elf. At number 2, we have Miracle on 34th Street from 1947. And at number 1, it's A Christmas Carol, and it's the Alistair Sim version. There we go. There was a lot of classics on there, weren't there? Every single one of those we've had before. Nice list, Frank and Shelley. Nice list. Now we're going to play Mary Poulty, who sent us that fantastic joke. I did the old air quotes again there when I said fantastic. You couldn't see them, so that's why I'm telling you that I did them. Maybe I should have sort of said it in like I was doing it. It's just, I'll try again, yeah? Now, next up, we've got Mary Poulty, who sent us that fantastic joke. Nope, me telling you I did air quotes probably worked better, didn't it? Now we've got Mary Poulty. She sent us that fantastic joke earlier, and now you're going to hear her top 10 list. Here it comes. At number 10, we have A Christmas Carol. That's Disney's Christmas Carol, starring Jim Carrey. At number 9 is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 8 is The Nightmare Before Christmas. Number 7 is A Christmas Story. Number 6, it's White Christmas. Number 5, we have It's a Wonderful Life. Number 4 is The Santa Claus. Number 3 is The Grinch, starring Jim Carrey. Number 2 is A Christmas Carol, starring Alistair Sim. And at number 1, it is Elf. There we go. And that's another list that didn't have any brand new ones on it. All of those have shown up a few times. Nice list, Mary, but let's see where you feature on our top 10. And when I say top 10, it's actually top 18. We've got 18 lists now, and this is the countdown. Are you ready? At number 18, we have Shona Birch. At number 17, Stacey McKenzie. At number 16, it's Robert Nicholas. Number 15, Anthony Caruso. Number 14, we have Tony Dixon. Number 13, Katie Gibson. At 12, it's Jennifer and Elma. At number 11, we have Lee Mayer. Number 10 is Benji Pearson. Number 9, Art Kilmer. Number 8, Jeffrey Malcolmson, who I spoke to earlier. At number 7 is Scott Newman, who we also spoke to earlier. At number 6 is Mike Westphal, who we didn't speak to earlier. Number 5, Eddie Honan. Number 4, Dan Carlson. New in at number 3 is Mary Poulty. Also new in at number 2 is Frank the Tank and Shelley Arnold. And still holding on to the number 1 spot is Crick Jiminy. There we go, boys and girls. That is how the chart stands. If you think your list is better than Crick Jiminy's, then send it in and it will be judged. It will have to stand up in front of me. It will stand up in court and I shall say to you, objection overruled, Your Honour, or something like that. It will be judged by me and we can see if yours is the greatest top 10 Christmas movie list of all time. Now it's time for this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey, there's no singing in the North Pole. Well, boys and girls, it has been ages since we've had Robin and Juno on the show. I think the last time they were on, God, a few episodes ago now, I think is when they sung Dominic the Donkey. That's ages. So they're back. We've got a short interview where they're going to explain to us why we put stockings out at Christmas time. And then they're going to sing a Christmas classic for you. So, yeah, it's nice to have them back. Here's Robin and Juno. Here we go. So, Robin and Juno, can you tell us why you put your stocking out on Christmas Eve?
Because to get it ready for Christmas Day.
But that's not enough. Why?
Because Father Christmas will give us presents overnight in our stockings and out of our stockings.
Yeah, but why is it your stocking? Why isn't it like, you know, your shoe or why isn't it a pair of pants?
Because there's holes in the pants and the presents could just fall out.
Okay, why isn't it a bag? Why isn't it like a bag from Tesco's?
Because it isn't Christmassy.
Well, what's Christmas about stockings and socks? I wear socks all year round. Why isn't it a jumper, but you've, like, tied the sleeves up?
It wouldn't work.
Yeah, I suppose you've got the neck hole still, haven't you? Okay, why isn't it a bucket that's got, like, a picture of a Christmas tree painted on it?
Because some of the presents might be too long.
Well, it might be too long for your stocking. Oh, you haven't answered any of my questions here. This is no good. Right, what song are you going to sing?
Last Christmas. Last Christmas, you gave me my heart, but the very next day, you did a big fart.
That's not how it goes. Hold on. Whoa, stop. That's not cool. Right, sing it properly.
Last Christmas, you gave me my heart, but the very next day, you did a big fart.
That's not it. That is not how it goes. That's not funny. It's not funny. This is Christmas. This is not funny. Right, you're going to sing it properly.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Last Christmas, you gave me my heart, but the very next day, you did a big fart.
Right, forget it. That's it. Thank you, girls. See you next time, girls. Oh, good to have you back on the show.
It's Oi.
If you listened to the last episode, you'd remember that I had a chap on called Ed Daly, who's just written a fantastic book called The Christmas Book, The Ultimate Guide to Your Favourite Holiday. I had a chat with Ed, and what we decided to do is he is going to send me a reading from his book and tell us some of the content that's in there. So I'm not going to tell you any more. I'm just going to play you the clip that Ed has sent in for this episode. Here it comes.
Hi Total Christmas Podcast listeners, this is Ed Daly, author of The Christmas Book. Today I'd like to tell you about how one of the worst tyrants in history helped inspire the song Silent Night. From 1799 to 1815, Napoleon put Europe through a real meat grinder. There were wars, occupations, and a general uneasiness. When Napoleon was finally defeated at Waterloo, peace was restored. But before anyone could really celebrate, a volcano in Indonesia caused the sun to be covered up in 1816, which was called the Year Without a Summer. Things were rough. Later that year, a young priest in Austria named Joseph Moore was out on a winter stroll when he felt inspired by his serene town. For the first time in a long while, things felt peaceful again. When he returned, he wrote Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, Silent Night, Holy Night. Choir director Franz Gruber wrote the music, and the two performed the song for the first time on Christmas Eve at his church. A handyman who was working at the church took a copy of the song and brought it back to his hometown. From there, traveling singers got a hold of it, and the song quickly spread throughout Europe. It has since been translated to hundreds of languages and is the Christmas song most associated with peace. Who did it best? Al Green. The man has a magical voice. The only challenge is keeping your clothes on while you're listening to him.
You know, I knew a bit about the story of Silent Night, but I didn't know what originally inspired it. So that's the sort of thing you will learn if you get a copy of Ed's book. Like I said, it's called The Christmas Book, The Ultimate Guide to Your Favourite Holiday by Ed Daly. Go and check it out. So this episode, I haven't got a recommendation. Well, I have got a recommendation. Right, the recommendation is this. Netflix has got a new film out called Father Christmas is Back. And I can tell you, it is an absolute pile of dog sh. I'm lost for words on how bad it is. Right, you've got John Cleese is in it. John Cleese from Monty Python. Kelsey Grammer is in it. From Cheers and Frasier, right? Those two alone. Then you've also got Liz Hurley in it, who looks fantastic. There's a lot of other British actors that some people would have heard of, some people wouldn't. It is such crap. Such absolute crud. But, actually, like, it's not much worse than, like, a Hallmark movie. So I'll give it that. But it's still rubbish. Me and the wife watched it the other night, and it's one of those films you're sort of thinking, there's got to be more to life than us watching this. We should just turn it off. But we didn't. We sat through the whole thing. We did chat through it.
or went on our phones a bit. I don't like doing that. I don't like going on my phone while I'm watching TV, when I'm with the wife. It's not if I'm on my own, because that's my time. But when we're both there together and you sort of, you're watching something, but then you're on the phone, it's just like, no, it's absolute trolley. Absolute trolley. I will not watch it again. Unless I'm paid to watch it again. Is there anyone out there that wants to pay me to watch that film again? And it wouldn't be a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? We're talking like, I'd probably watch it for like 40 quid. 40 quid. Maybe even 20. Maybe 20 notes I'd do it for. If I could do other stuff while it was on, I'd do it for a tenner. How's that sound? Is that a recommendation? It's not, is it? How about this for a recommendation? Be good to your mum. She's done a lot for you. How's that? Yeah? Okay. And that is it for this episode. I just hope you've enjoyed it. I want to say a big thank you to Scott Newman and Jayla Chappelle from Jingle Jank Podcast. If you're not listening to Jingle Jank Podcast, get off your backside when this is finished and start listening to it, because it's such a good podcast. I listen to it every episode when it comes out and I love it. JingleJank.com. I've told you what it's about before. I'm going to tell you again. It's about obscure Christmas songs. So they pick a theme each week and they play Christmas songs as part of that theme. Do you know what? It's so rare that you will have heard the songs that they play. So it's just interesting. It's great. And they tell you a bit about each one as well. Highly recommend it. But actually, that was probably this episode's recommendation. Forget the bit about Father Christmas is back, which is awful. This episode's recommendation is Jingle Jank. And this episode's recommendation is also Santa and Rudy, the online strip. Have a look at it. It's really good. It really is good. I love that. So thank you for everyone who's been a part of the show. Have I got anything else to say? Let me just have a think about this. Have I got anything else to say? Have I got anything else to say? Have I got anything else to say? No, I haven't. But why am I singing? Why don't I edit this bit out? I'm not going to. I'm keeping it in. It was the best part of the show, really, wasn't it? I'm going to be back again in it might be less than 2 weeks now, because we're getting to, up to Christmas. I'm going to try and fit in three more episodes before Christmas. So it might be a few days early. It might not. I can't see into the future, kids. If I could, I'd tell you when it's coming out, but I can't. So let's just say the next episode's coming out fairly soon. In the meantime, I'll be off then, will I? Yeah. So I'll be off. I'll get my coat. Oh, I wasn't wearing a coat, was I? Hang on, can I stay a bit longer? Because I'm waiting for a taxi. Can I just stay a bit longer? No? Okay, sorry. No, I'll go then. Okay, well, it was nice to see you. You know I love you. Merry Christmas. Bye. Bye. I'm still here. Bye. Well, I'm going now.
A person's heart and a person's feelings are very different than skates.
Well, they're kind of the same thing. If you aren't going to use your heart, then what's the difference if it gets broken? If you just keep it to yourself, maybe it'll be like my rollerblades. When you do decide to try it, it won't be any good. You should take a chance. Got nothing to lose.
But a truth in there somewhere.